I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Today's a big day, big day for the city of Houston. We find out whether or not we are going to be a host city for the 2026 World Cup. The guy headed up and has been headed up for a while now, Chris Kennedy, rejoining the show here. He is heading up our bid committee, and he is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chris, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. Good to be back with you on this morning.
So we had you on when you were first named to head up the host committee. That was how long have you been working on this?
You're not going to believe this, but that was I was named in October of 2018. I started this job in January of 2019.
Wow. So this, yeah. And it's all coming down to this day for you. After years of planning and plotting and cajoling and everything that you've had to do, it comes down to today, right?
That is exactly right. So, you know, years of work have gone into this for our city. And the announcement is being made this afternoon at 4 o'clock Central. There's going to be a live television broadcast on Fox Sports 1. Where the cities will all be revealed. So I literally have no clue as we sit here at 9:03 this morning. Nobody has a clue. We're all going to learn our fate watching live TV later today.
Well, what do you make of the Harris County tweet? The Houston Sports Authority, HCHSA, put out this tweet. Join us this Friday in celebrating Houston awarded as a host city for the 2026 World Cup. Party details to come following the World Cup host city's announcement this Thursday at 4 p.m.
So I can confirm that we are planning a party for tomorrow, but there's a key word missing there, if we win.
Yeah.
That was a mistake by someone in the social media team that, you know, was actually a very poorly worded tweet. We are planning a party and trying to get some invitations out to people, but we have to win first, and we literally don't know. I wish I knew, because I'd be a lot more comfortable at this hour.
You're not the only city with one of those reports, apparently a wrong one. Like, there's a report out of Kansas City that sources have told them that they are one of the host cities. So the leaks are starting, or the incorrect leaks, because we just heard from Chris that no one knows, so we'll see how it plays out. Chris, besides a venue for the games, what else goes into acquiring, or at least becoming, a host city? Is it planning of events around games? I know the stadium is important. That's what everyone focuses on. But what else goes into it to make sure you're a great place to host a World Cup?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, there's a ton that goes into this. Certainly, to your point, the stadium is the focal point. That's the main venue. You know, we're going to use NRG Stadium and NRG Park and host hopefully, you know, five or six matches around this World Cup in 2026. But you need to have practice facilities for the teams, and, you know, we've submitted five locations on that. You need to, you know, take care of so many logistics around transportation in and out of the city. at the airport, in and around the city, hotel rooms for teams, officials, media, broadcast, VIPs, fans. What's interesting about the World Cup and what's different from, say, the Super Bowl is, the Super Bowl is one game with, events on over the course of about a week. Again, we're going to host 5 to 6 matches over the course of about 3 or 4 weeks, and there's 80 total matches in the World Cup. So when there's not a match in Houston, there might be a match in Toronto or L.A. or Miami, right? And there's going to be parties and fan fests and things going on, over the duration of about a 35-day period around this entire World Cup. So, there's all kinds of legal stuff and financial stuff, and then you even get into legacy programs and human rights and sustainability. I mean, there's a load of things that go into this thing.
What are you most proud of from your bid, and what you think really hit hit FIFA hardest for Houston?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot to be proud of, but as I think about that answer, the first thing that comes to mind is, we know we have all this great infrastructure, 2 international airports, NRG Park, right? On and on we can go with all the great facilities we have. We don't have to build anything. We know we've got this great track record of hosting major sporting events. By the way, Houston's hosted more major sporting events than any of our competition in this process since 2004, All-Star Games, Super Bowls, Final Fours, et cetera. So, we have all these great things, and a lot of other cities could probably say the same if we're being honest, right? L.A., Atlanta, Miami, Dallas, et cetera. But one of the things that we really focused on was an intangible as we pitched FIFA. We called it the spirit of Houston, and we talked about the ability that we have as a city to unite and to mobilize and to come together and enthusiastically become invested and committed in events like this and to pull the entire community together to make it successful. And I think that's been a recipe for success for this city with Super Bowls and Final Fours and other major soccer events and things that have come through in the past. And it's definitely something special about this city that I think as Houstonians we all can feel and sense. But, this is a group of people from Europe making this decision. So we had to, during COVID, without a lot of face-to-face time, get them to feel this intangible spirit of Houston that I'm talking about here. And I think we did a good job of that. We were able to do that because there was so many people behind us on this. It wasn't just me and a few other people sitting around a room over the course of the last 3.5 years making this happen. So I think that's my response to your question. That's what something I'm very proud of.
For the U.S. as a whole, kind of in a unique place when it comes to World Cups, we're not building soccer-specific stadiums for the World Cup. Even since 94, there's been an explosion with the MLS of these soccer-specific stadiums. Will there be any of those in use, or will we be talking about like here at NRG and certainly Atlanta where Atlanta plays, but that's a football stadium. Will there be any soccer specific stadiums in use in the World Cup in the U.S.?
No, not for match competitions, perhaps for practices and things like that, but all of the submissions across the board for the 16 markets are NFL size stadiums, right? AT&T in Dallas, NRG here, Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, on and on. I could go SoFi and Rose Bowl and LA, right? Patriots Stadium and, so all NFL stadiums, which is, when you look at Qatar where the World Cup is later this year, or Russia or Brazil or South Africa where the previous World Cups have all been played, they've built stadiums and all their infrastructure from scratch and right to the FIFA spec book. But we already have these great facilities in this country that are world-class already, so it's a major advantage to bring in the World Cup to the U.S.
What's the biggest drawback for Houston? The summer heat?
Not really. I don't think the heat's an issue. Obviously, I'll flip that for a second. Having a retractable roof is a huge advantage to us. I think we're one of 3 markets that can say they have a retractable roof, and part of that roof, the roof is obviously important for climate control and keeping it cool for the players and the fans, but maybe even more importantly, to protect the international broadcast from any delays around, say, a thunderstorm or something. The average World Cup game is viewed by 190 million people around the world. And to put that in perspective, the Super Bowl is 120 million. So the average World Cup match is bigger than even the Super Bowl. So having that roof is important. But I don't think the heat is a drawback. I think the biggest drawback was just the challenge we have of getting outsiders, you know, from not even from this country, from, you know, international places, to understand our city, to know our city. We made it a focus to make sure that we know we have everything going for us and we have all these great strengths. So we made it a focus to make sure that our message was embedded in their hearts and minds about what we can bring to the table from Houston. Because I think we're, you know, we don't have the New York, L.A., Miami kind of brand, if you will.
So if we get it, we don't know what teams we're going to get. But are we going to have celebrations of those teams and their cultures, of those countries and their cultures while they're here?
Oh, no doubt about that. Yeah, that'll be one of the last things we learn. So today we're just going to learn if we're a host city or not. Eventually we'll learn how many games and what stages of the tournament we'll get. I anticipate, like I said, 5 or 6 games, some group stage games, and then perhaps a couple of knockout games, which would hopefully be as deep as a quarterfinal. And then towards the very end, we'll find out exactly who are, what countries will be coming here. And that's part of the process of, selection process and qualification and the draw and all that kind of stuff. I mean, even this year's World Cup that just happened a couple weeks ago.
That'll be neat. Man, that's going to be neat. Well, how nervous are you today?
Feeling a little bit today. Anxious. I'm very confident in that we did everything we can do and we didn't miss anything. You know, I'm not 100% confident that we're going to get selected. That would be over the top, I think. But I feel good, and I hope that sometime around 4:30 this afternoon we're ready to party a little bit and say we're hosting.
So for people who don't know the breakdown, there are 22 candidates in total. There's supposed to be 10 host cities in the U.S., 3 each in Canada and Mexico for a total of 16. Apparently, there are only 3 cities qualified from Canada and Mexico to be in this round of 16. So does that mean those 3 are locked to get it, Chris? The 3 from each of those countries?
That's a great question. It's something we're monitoring and keeping our eye on. So what happened in the way this was set up in the beginning was that the 3 Canadian cities and the 3 Mexican cities were identified from the start. So Mexico is Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. And there's been no discussion about it being anything else. Canada was originally Toronto, Edmonton, and Montreal. Montreal pulled out like a year and a half ago, so that left it with Toronto and Edmonton. And in the last few months, Vancouver has come in to be the 3rd Canadian city. But over the last few days, there's been reports that Edmonton may not get one. So if Canada ends up with 2, which again, we'll all figure out and learn today, we're all questioning and wondering, is there a spinoff and an effect that maybe the U.S. picks up an 11th city? But it's been pretty much reported that the U.S. is only supposed to have 10, but what happens in Canada may or may not have an impact on that.
Wow. Is there one other thing because of how it's broken down? I believe Florida, Texas, and California are the 3 states with 2 cities bidding. Do you anticipate a state that gets 2, or is it probably going to be 1 each and then spread out around the rest of the country?
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who have asked that question and speculated, will they only put 1 in Texas? And my answer is always, they never say they're only going to put 1 in California or 1 in Florida. So why are we only reserving ourselves to 1 in Texas, right? Especially when we're 280 miles apart. Especially when if I look at it, Dallas and Houston are both top 10 quality cities. I think we're both deserving to be in, and I think there's real advantages to having both Houston and Dallas involved together, especially with the 3 cities in Mexico. You can create a nice little geographic cluster between Mexico and Texas and the 5 of us to logistically work things throughout the tournament. So we haven't heard anything that suggests there's only 1 in Texas or California and Florida. So I hope, you know, hopefully that's not the case, because I think Dallas has one big advantage over us, and that's that their stadium is much larger, and which means they can sell more tickets.
Yeah, but Dallas is an armpit. I mean, that's not a top 10 city.
Chris can't say that.
No, I can say it.
I can't say that.
I can say it, though. I can say it. Yeah, Jerry's World is probably very attractive. I would imagine too, with the 100,000 seats. Probably that sucks.
It's still Dallas, though.
It's still Dallas. They still got to put up with Dallas. So that's a problem. Well, Chris,
you know, look, we've worked closely with them, and we've supported each other. And like I said, we support this message of both Houston and Dallas. And if you believe New York's going to get it, Boston, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and D.C. are all either closer than Houston and Dallas to one another, or about the same. So just because we're in the same state, we don't think should be a determining factor. And in fact, there's lots of value to promoters to bring events to the state of Texas because of the way we do business here with some of the reimbursements on expenses and things like that. So hopefully that'll pays off in a positive way.
Yeah, that's a big drawback for California, I would imagine, with the taxes that they're going to have to pay there. So, yeah, that's a big ups to Texas, that's for sure. Hey, Chris. Man, best of luck today. This is great. We were with you at the beginning, and we're here with you now, and rooting for you, and hopefully we get this thing, because it will mean a heck of a lot for this city if we can get this World Cup.
Yeah, I'll just close by giving a little perspective on that. You know, when the Super Bowl was here in 2017, $347 million economic impact around one game and one week worth of events. So when we put five or six games on over the course of 3 or 4 weeks, we're talking about potentially an economic impact of north of $1 billion to Houston. So it'll be awesome. I hope we win it today.
Yep, we sure do. Well, thanks for all your work. We appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be celebrating tonight.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
There's Chris Canetti right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll see. All right, Roosh Williams is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about this Rockets trade, what he thinks, and he's a big Rockets guy, so we will talk to him at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. If you're looking for the best way to improve whatever it is that you have, your home or your business, I've seen businesses that, you know, if you don't have a nice bar, if you don't have a nice, your cabinets are crappy, your bathroom is terrible, the vanity, the toilets, the tile, the flooring, everything about it is just terrible. I mean, people are not going to come back to your business. They're not going to want to be at your business because it's just not a good place to be. You got to upgrade. You got to keep it nice. You got to do a wonderful job. And Jeff Aronoff can do that job for you. Absolute Marble and Granite is here for you. Give him a call, 713-880-2822. You need a big job done, Jeff Aronoff can do it. He can change the look of that bath. He can change the look of that kitchen. He can change the look of that dining room or that your restaurant. Whatever it is, he can make it better and more valuable and help you keep your business growing. So all you got to do is give him a call and let him come and get the job started. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Godfather of Houston Sports Radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Dell with you. All right, Dell, you got some important information for tonight's game.
No Scott Foster, who was known as the series extender. So if you were banking on Scott Foster giving calls to the Boston Celtics, bank on something else. He will not be there. The referees for tonight's game are David.
Not that it's important that Scott Foster is not refereeing. It used to be Joey Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Joey would extend a series and be a good league guy. I mean, what's his name that was the gambling guy, referee?
Donahue.
Donahue, yeah. He couldn't have laid it out any better. That this was a real thing. Scott Foster is a real thing.
Yeah.
Now, he also has his hatred. Like for his, Chris players. Paul has never won a Scott Foster game.
I think he's 0-for.
Yeah.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Yes,
Scott Foster. He also hated Clyde Drexler. Or no. Which Rocket did he hate? No, Clyde was hated by, and he never worked a game again after, was it Clyde that he was after? There was a referee who never worked a game again after he said some stuff. But there was one other guy that never mind. But the important thing is, who are these guys now?
Zach Zarba, David Guthrie, John Goble are your...
You know what I like about them? I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be deep in the NBA and be a fan of a team to know if one of these guys screwed you. I think maybe Boston has a problem with David Guthrie. I think I've seen that because I've had to deal with Boston in the Heat series and now this. But, no Scott Foster. So, series extender Scott Foster, not around for Game 6, so... If you like the Warriors to end it in six, now you actually have a shot because Scott Foster ain't around.
It's awful, awful, awful when you have a Scott Foster out there just changing the game or an umpire. I mean, it's just awful when you have a guy who makes a difference in it, when a referee or an umpire that makes a difference in a game. Just terrible. Just awful. I don't think the NFL really has that, do they?
No.
I don't believe that.
Because their referees, I mean, I guess they could call holding all the time, but their referees can't have the same impact really on the game.
Yeah, you could call penalties at opportune times.
Yeah, if you wanted to, but they're less obvious. Like, cause particularly holding calls, they're inside. I mean, obviously the camera can find it, but everyone can see, or at least they think they can see what a foul is and what isn't a foul. So, and the NFL has... The NBA at least has one of their former refs telling the world that this is happening. The NFL hasn't had one of those guys come out and go, yeah, sometimes we do this.
No, right.
Yeah.
No. I'm sure that they get together and make calls and they know what's going on. Did it bother you at all when they were talking about Jeff Van Gundy and they were talking about Draymond getting his second technical and the referees and... And Steve Javi came on and said, "Oh no, yeah, we know who's got a technical and how it's going to affect the game if there's if he gets another technical, the thought is if it's a technical, it's a technical, not he already has one, so we're not going to give him another one."
I hope the people who feel that way feel the same way about the sixth foul, because some people say, "Well, close late in game, you don't call that foul, or even just a late foul, you don't call that foul late in the game." Are they the same? Are they the same people who say, "Oh, but you should give Draymond a technical"? Because some people say you let him play late in games.
Mm-hmm.
And if the point is to allow the players to decide the game, kicking Draymond out as poorly as he had played for most of the series would be a huge detriment to the Warriors. Overall, generally speaking, I mean, like I said, he hadn't played well. So yeah, I'm a fan of keeping the best players in the game for as long as you can keep them in the game, unless it's clearly obvious. I mean, Draymond yells at all the refs. All of a sudden, it's time to kick him out of game. You set a precedent where you're not going to do it. Don't do it in a finals game. What line would he have to cross for you now to kick him out? Because he's been yelling at you guys for the last 7 years. Yes. Now it's time to take a stand? No.
No.
You've already set a precedent.
No. It is what it is. It is what it is. Any college football news that we haven't talked to you about? Is there anything?
I don't think so.
That has gone on in the world?
Unless people are really big into recruiting. I mean, but other than that, recruiting summer visits are picking up now. But no, I mean, you guys talked about, the Big 12 making that announcement that those four teams are now in sooner than they might have thought. Not really a lot going on unless you love recruiting.
Yeah, apparently A&M's getting a guy, a wide receiver who's committed somewhere else to come visit. The numbers that we're hearing...
I will say the NCAA had a conversation with Miami's biggest booster. They went, "Hey, hey, how's it going?" he made it sound like they were simply trying to figure out how they were doing things, and it was not an actually they said it wasn't an investigation, it was an inquiry, but they did ask him some questions. They asked Miami officials, who knows what will come of it. But if you don't know, Miami has a very boisterous booster. He goes on Twitter and makes announcements. In fact, he announced a commitment of a player with a deal before the player did, before the school did. And NCAA was like, wait a minute, that seems odd. Let's have a conversation. It was Nigel Pack, the former Kansas State player. He had like a 2-year, $800K deal for him for LifeWall or whatever, which is John Ruiz's company. So they went down to talk with him. I don't know what's going to come of it. And apparently it wasn't even really football related. It was like, hey, we don't need you being good in basketball, too. That Elite Eight run was enough. We don't need you getting really involved. We'll leave Kansas alone. Isn't Kansas supposed to suffer something at some point? When are they going to get to Kansas?
The NCAA is the most powerless.
Except when they want to punish like a have-not.
Yeah. It's the worst. The NCAA is the worst.
Kansas just won a national title. Are they going to catch anything for what they allegedly did?
It's so impotent. I just hate the NCAA is the worst institution ever.
But they're impotent because the people who they're supposed to govern are the people who give them power. They're much like Roger Goodell, where he has to listen to the owners. The people who make up the NCAA are former administrators at schools, at former employees at schools. They pull from schools and all that stuff. So it's really you're managing your own boss. You're managing the people who supply you with labor. So they're just they pick and choose, and they're never really consistent. So, I mean, they went after Ruiz because he was loud about it. I mean, he's not the only one who, if you think it's a bad thing, what he's doing is doing it. He just happened to go on Twitter a lot. But I think he's figured out that, maybe I'll quiet down a little bit.
Yep.
Quiet down.
Are you proud of Matthew Neesmith? He's leading along with Colin Morikawa at 3-under at the U.S. Open.
I don't know Matthew Neesmith, so I can't be proud of him. I mean, I guess good for you, sir.
Well, it's great.
Is he a real threat?
It's great for you. No, probably not, but he's up there at the top of the leaderboard, so big ups to him. Did you ever lead a U.S. Open? No.
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 I've led other things.
Yeah, but not a U.S. Open, so sorry. Matthew Neesmith does. So congratulations. When we come back, Roosh Williams is going to join us to talk about this Rockets trade on the other side. Right now, though, we're talking about Champion Energy. If you're looking to be a champion, I was listening to the Astros broadcast, and they had Champion on there, and Champion Energy is it's the official provider of the Houston Astros. Well, it makes sense because Jim Crane owned it at the time, but they're still powering our stadium, and they're still powering the fans, and they're still powering Alex Bregman. They're still powering Houston, and it's a Houston company. You'll see the big office building on the Hardy Toll Road right there, and you just got to – I'm telling you, it's the best. It's unbelievable how little I pay every month. It's just unbelievable. I can't even tell you. So if you're looking for that company that you're just going to spend less, you're just going to pay less for your electricity, I'm telling you, it's Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Roosh Williams joining us here on the show. Friend of the show, Ball is Life. Going to talk about this trade that the Rockets made yesterday with Christian Wood going to the Dallas Mavericks for a bag of peanuts and the 26th overall pick. Roosh, welcome to the show. What's up?
Good morning, boys. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. These names that they got, Roosh, this is pretty much, well, in the playoffs, they were four of their six worst players or least productive players. Trey Burke, Boban, Sterling Brown, and Marquise Chris. Do you figure any of these guys going to make the team this year?
So I think Jonathan Fagan has reported that Sterling Brown and Marquise Chris are expected to be waived before training camp. So I don't expect them to be on the team. Trey Burke and Boban, I guess they'll stick. I think the main name that might stick is Boban. But the important thing is that both of their salaries expire after the next season. So, you know, the Rockets really aren't taking on much salary. They're trying to keep that 2023 cap sheet as clean as possible. So this move kind of fits that approach.
Bruce, do you believe the Rockets knew what they were, all they were getting in Christian Wood when they acquired him, and that means everything that comes with having him on your roster?
You know, I think that getting Christian Wood was kind of a last-ditch effort to build something around Harden, which is kind of ironic that he's being traded to team up with Luka, right, who plays very similar to Harden. But, man, at the end of the day, I think this trade shows you just how low Christian Wood's trade value was around the league. I mean, even a team like the Hornets that have been desperate for a center couldn't beat, you know, this package, which is basically the 26th pick in the draft. I do think it's also important to note that this trade generated a $4 million trade exception for the Rockets. So not a big deal, but something that they could also use in a trade to maybe pick up, you know, some type of value somewhere.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are, I heard him, they're pissed. Oh, he doesn't know what, you know. Listen, I got some insight into this thing. That this was the best he could possibly do. That'll tell you. Well, first of all, Christian Wood is going to, his contract's expiring after this year, and he's going to want max deal. So teams don't want that headache. Secondly, he's not a good guy in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've all heard the stories, right? Shows up late to meetings, has some maturity issues, obviously, you know, walked out on the team at halftime of a game earlier this season. Just really was never able to kind of get that part of the NBA down. He's talented on the offensive end of the floor. He's a huge defensive liability, as we all know. But for those reasons, right, the lack of maturity and then just the complete inability to play defense, I think it's one of those things where it's addition by subtraction. You know, I'm happy the Rockets don't have to take on crappy salary in return, and you know, all this money expires, so they keep that cap sheet clean for next year. They get the pick, and they get the trade exception. The good thing about doing the trade now is at least the Rockets get, you know, like a week in advance to kind of shop that 26th pick and see what they can do with it and if they can package it and, you know, try to move up, hopefully.
A week away from the draft, and the Christian Wood move means that whichever athletic big they bring in will have minutes and won't have to deal with an upset older player who wants those minutes. Now that we're a week away, you kind of figure where Orlando's going. Even if you didn't know, what player would you want when it comes to Holmgren, Banchero, or Smith?
Man, I've been flip-flopping back and forth, but I think I'm at the point where I'm warming up to Banchero. He was reported the other day to measure at 6'10 and a half without shoes, which is kind of significant to me. I mean, look, in any normal drafts with these types of prospects, if we had a guy that was almost 7 feet tall in shoes that could score the way he does and that could create and pass the way he does, I think it's a no-brainer, number one. I think it's one of those scenarios where we might look, you know, if Banchero ends up going third to the Rockets, we might look back in a couple of years and wonder how he did not go first overall.
No, I'm resigned to the fact he's going to be gone. He will not be there because of all of the things that you're saying. I mean, it's not like we know these secrets about him that the two teams in front of the Rockets don't know. I'm resigned to the fact that it's going to be Holmgren. What do you think?
Holmgren, I mean, he's obviously got some issues, you know. One of those guys that some people think he's a unicorn prospect, and then other people think he has very, very glaring potential issues. If it is Holmgren, you know, I'd be happy. I'd be happy with any of the top three. But at this point, I'm very sold on Banchero, especially with Christian Wood now gone. Banchero and Jalen Green as, like, your potential, you know, kind of two-man team there, your potential duo, your big two, if you will. I think that's just really attractive. And then you have room for Şengün to start, maybe Garuba to get minutes, and you can kind of see this young team get some time and see what they're actually about.
Christian Wood's out. Another player that was discussed around the deadline was Eric Gordon. Still here. What do you think the value is for him, and what would you think is fair for the Rockets if a trade was made?
I think Eric Gordon is still worth the first-round pick. I mean, we saw a few teams that could have possibly traded for him that didn't, right? Phoenix, they could have desperately used an Eric Gordon. Even Boston could probably have used an Eric Gordon if they made the right trade. Obviously, they ended up not needing him because they're doing pretty well in the finals, even though they're down 3-2. But I think if a contender really wants to push in their chips and kind of take things over the top, even like the Philadelphia 76ers, you could just throw in a first-round pick that should be relatively meaningless given that you're a contending team and get a veteran that plays both sides of the floor and has proven he's gotten big moments in the playoffs. I think the Rockets like him. With the trade they've made, Eric Gordon's basically their vet, you know, that they have for the locker room. So I think they like him from that perspective. And I think Eric seems to be happy to be in Houston. So we'll see what ends up happening with him. But, you know, his deal next season is not guaranteed. So if there is a time to trade him, it's now, unless the Rockets plan on, you know, guaranteeing, I think it's $20 million for the following season.
Well, I think no matter what, Roosh Williams with us here, Ball is Life, they're at least a year away because they got to get out of this John Wall contract or the Russell Westbrook contract if the trade goes down. They got to get, you know, Eric Gordon. They got to get they'll be a year older with this number three overall pick. This team and then they got to go out and convince some veterans that they want to come here. So this is still, I mean, did you still see the Rockets as a low lottery team again next year?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think what's going to have to happen is whoever they draft it with the third pick, assuming that they do use that pick on an actual player instead of trading it, whoever they draft there is going to have to be an actual, you know, legitimate contributor worthy of the third pick. And if that's the case, and if the Rockets can then cash in some of the assets they got from the Harden trade, which I like to call the Harden stimulus package, if they're able to take some of those Nets picks and trade them for value for an impact player or two, then you give it maybe 2, maybe 3 years, and like you said, sign some vets, convince some free agents to come over, and I think things start to come to fruition. But the good news is that, you know, we got a glimpse of how explosive these guys can be on offense at the end of the season, consequently with Christian Wood when he sat, right? We kind of turned the keys over to Jalen Green, and you saw Jalen Green take off and have those amazing performances, and even Kevin Porter Jr. was putting up 28 points, 7 and 7 on good efficiency, and then Şengün also played well. So if that young core grows as you'd expect over the next couple years, and then they can add to it with the third pick, and then they can make a couple trades and some splashes with the assets they got from trading James Harden, I think 2 or 3 years, and they'll be back in the play-in playoff picture. But I do expect them to be in the lottery hunt next year because, I mean, the West is just good. Yeah. You know, even the teams that were not as good as them this season or that were close to them this season arguably get better. So
Yep. How about using all these picks and moving up one spot with Oklahoma City if Banchero is there?
I don't know if I'd do that. You know, it's really interesting because
they don't need more picks, though. They don't need the 17th pick. They don't need the 26th pick. They got enough young players.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, right, is, you know, no one is going to be under contract, like I said, for the 2023 summer except for the rookies they drafted last season, whoever they're drafting this season, and then whether or not they extend Jayshon Tate and Kevin Porter Jr. remains to be seen. But I would be surprised if they picked at 17 and 26. The good news is if they do, those are probably players that they stash in the G League and kind of develop and grow. But I'm hopeful that they can maybe package 17 and 26 to move up. OKC has the second pick and the 12th pick, and OKC loves to deal, so you could maybe see something there where the 12th pick is available, kind of similar to what the Rockets did last season, right? They traded 2 first-round picks for OKC's 16th pick. And then the Hornets also have the 13th pick and the 15th pick, so there's maybe some flexibility there where they would be interested in a trade, and you could kind of move up and do that. But I don't know if I'd move up for Banchero one spot unless the asking price wasn't that high.
All right. There's Roosh Williams, Ball is Life, right here at ESPN 97.5. Good talking to you again, Roosh. We appreciate it, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys enjoy your day. Thanks, John. Thanks, Dale.
All right. When we come back, News of the Weird, a granny story, which will hit close to home with Dell next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. So, Dell, I mean, you're in a relationship, right? What is your Facebook status?
I wouldn't call it a relationship.
Well, you got Granny next door.
That's not a relationship.
She's in the bikini. She's doing the flowers. You're peeking through the blinds.
Why would I have to peek? If it is what you're suggesting it is, why would I have to pee?
So, do you see this couple here?
Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah, where is it? Here. This is them here. Let's see. She's 61, and he's 24.
Okay.
And they're doing TikTok stuff.
Are they a couple?
They're a couple, and they're planning on having a baby.
Is he going to have the baby?
No, she's going to have it. Ready to have a baby, they say.
So, does he know how old she is?
Yeah, look at her.
I don't want to look at her.
What it's like for you every day?
She's got the woman you're referencing. She has those deep socket eyes, those hollowed out eyes. That's not great.
And she's really white. And,
well, she's pale, certainly.
Yeah, she's pale. Ooh, wow. Let me ask you this question. There's a new study that says Americans feel relaxed for only 40 minutes a day. Would you disagree with that?
This American.
Would you bring up the number of minutes that you relax a day in this study?
I mean, if they polled me, America would be like 2 hours. I would yank that average up really high.
Just relaxed, watching a movie, napping.
You know what I did yesterday? No, I stayed up to watch the new episode of Miss Marvel. Actually, pretty good, charming show. And Obi-Wan, and then took a nap. I was like, what? I missed your show, thankfully. Got up at like 10:30. I was like, oh, text me. That's great. Ate lunch, went back to sleep. I am very relaxed.
No, there's no one more. I figured you'd be like, oh.
40 please. Minutes.
40 minutes a day is all you relax?
What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
I'm one of those.
Why are you focusing on me? What about you?
I would bring the average way up, higher than 40%. Lauren Boebert, do we know who she is?
She is a right-wing congresswoman, I think.
Okay. She said this. Jesus didn't have enough AR-15s to prevent crucifixion. Do you think Jesus should have had an AR-15 and maybe then he wouldn't have been crucified?
I mean, was the whole point was that Jesus was sacrificing himself for the good of the rest of us? So he died.
Forgive us our sins.
He died to forgive our sins. Yeah. So he wasn't going to use an AR-15 if they existed, right?
Probably not, Lauren.
So Lauren's not reading the Bible, is
she's
she?
Not really interpreting it well.
No, the whole point was it was a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, you know, being Jesus,
yeah.
if he wanted to, could have, you know, come down from that cross at any point.
At any time.
Yeah.
At any time. He did later. He just got up and said, I'm out of here.
I'm done here.
I'm out.
I'm done.
A woman charged. Oh, this is a sad story. There's a woman charged with a felony. I don't. Should she be charged?
Is she
with a
attractive?
Felony?
That's why she shouldn't be charged.
Well, no. I mean, maybe she should be charged. She was charged with a felony after spitting on a corpse in a casket at her funeral home.
What's the felony
is
for that?
The face disrespect.
Disrespect isn't a felony.
Hey, this has happened. This happened in Tyler, Texas, too.
What's it? What's the charge?
A felony charge after spitting. Apparently, she walked into the funeral home, walked straight up to the casket and spit on the corpse. She said, a witness on the scene said Hines had animosity toward the family of the person in the casket.
I bet. But
she's charged with state jail felony abuse of corpse.
So abusing a corpse. Is
abusing
a
corpse.
Usually, isn't that reserved for doing other stuff to the corpse, not spitting on it?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oof.
Did you see this? A sealed Back to the Future VHS tape sold for $75,000 at a U.S. auction. Do you think you should have invested in Back to the Future tapes?
That's not investing.
Yeah, it is. They invested in it. They bought one.
For what?
Didn't open it.
And then they sold it for
$75,000.
But when did they buy the tape? How is that an investment if you buy it like whenever the movie came
don't
out?
Don't you think you should buy some stuff now? But we don't have any DVDs anymore.
Everything's digital. What am I going to buy?
I know. You got to buy something now and don't open it for 50 years. And then what? You make big money.
50 years?
Yeah.
By that time, I ain't going to care about anything in 50 years.
No.
What am I? Hey, why am I still here? Can we end this already? In 50 years.
Oh, man, the United Arab Emirates is not pleased with Pixar right now.
Odd. What did Pixar do to the Emirates?
Well, apparently in the new Buzz Lightyear film, two females kiss.
Okay. So a cartoon where two women kiss has upset an entire nation?
Yeah, well, yeah, they banned it. They banned Pixar.
I guess.
Buzz Lightyear.
How will Pixar survive without the United Arab Emirates? You know who wouldn't? If that was an issue with golf, you know what the golfers would do? You're right. How much are you going to pay us? We made a mistake here.
We won't kiss anymore. Yeah. We promise. All right, we're done. I'm done. You're going to be back tomorrow.
That's right.
Bring your A game, okay, tomorrow. Because today you were...
I mean, I told you, this was like game six. Now, the Warriors don't have to deal with Scott Foster. I was dealing with Scott Foster. So
I'm Scott Foster?
Yeah, so you can't expect me to win a game six.
So we're done. I'm going to take the day off tomorrow. Y'all have a great weekend. Dell and Lance tomorrow with RJ right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.